In Chicago today, a jury began deliberations in the high-profile trial of one of three young men charged with beating a black teenager into a coma last year. The attack on Lenard Clark took place in Bridgeport, an area known for racial violence. Soon after the incident, the city undertook a number of programs to try to mend race relations in the neighborhood. Reporter Jackie Northam of member station WBEZ visited Bridgeport to see whether those programs have been successful.
At one time, Bridgeport was Chicago's most powerful neighborhood. It was the home of five of the city's last eight mayors, as well as a good number of police and firemen. But this white working-class neighborhood is also known for its racial intolerance. And on a warm spring night in March 1997, that reputation was sealed. On this poorly lit Bridgeport sidewalk, a black 13-year-old boy named Lenard Clark was found bleeding and unconscious. His head bashed in, police say, by three white youths from the Bridgeport area. The attack, which sparked several weeks of demonstrations, became a clarion call for racial healing. And a huge initiative to try to reverse years of intolerance in Bridgeport got underway. But some 18 months after the beating of Lenard Clark, it appears very little has changed.
What do we hope to do together, you know, as we move?
Sitting at the head of a table that groans under the weight of Italian food, Reverend B. Herbert Martin leads what have become known as the Living Room Conversations, where various ethnic and religious groups come together to discuss their differences. It's an unusual crowd tonight. At the table are the families and close friends of both Lenard Clark and one of the accused. Reverend Martin said it took him a long time to bring the two sides together, and he said he's had to do a lot of explaining to the people in Bridgeport, as well as his own congregation, many of whom come from the housing project where Lenard Clark lived.
As I leave my community walking toward Bridgeport, I feel like I'm going to get shot in the back by the people in my own community who do not understand why I'm walking away. While I'm walking toward Bridgeport, I'm fearful that somebody's going to shoot me in the face because they don't know why I'm coming.
Pastor Martin concedes he's made very little progress in his quest for racial harmony, but he says his hopes are with the next generation. The future is what many organizations are looking towards.
As we talk about hate crimes and you see things on television, you hear people talk, what is one way you think that is impacted your community or yourself or your parks? You want to start?
Makes us think that we're more stupid.
It makes you...
Like those goofy guys that dragged a black guy behind a truck in Texas?
It makes you go like...
For more than 2 hours, the adolescents in this hate crimes class have learned about discrimination and stereotyping. The classes are organized by the Chicago Commission on Human Relations, which started a series of anti-racism children's programs in the city's schools, parks, and community centers. Nikki Batchelor brings together 6 to 10-year-olds from different backgrounds just to play and to get used to being around each other. Batchelor says there have been some small but positive steps over the past year and a half.
The kids have noticed a difference this summer in going to the pool. No name calling, no looks. And if they do go back home to their dinner tables and stereotypes are dropped in conversation, that's okay, because when they get to be old enough to think on their own, they'll have a spectrum to look at as far as developing values.
But for the older teens and young adults, it's often hard to change beliefs that have already taken hold. At a community center near a largely Hispanic housing project on the edge of Bridgeport, a 14-year-old named Paul says he still wouldn't venture into the area where Lenard Clark was attacked.
I wouldn't go by myself. I'd probably go with like 4 other people older than me for protection.
His 2 friends, who didn't want to give their names, agree that little has changed since the beating.
The week after Lenard Clark, we tried talking to people, you know, put up posters, TV, everything. It all cooled down for a couple weeks, and after that, it just go back up to the same way it was. If there is something you can change it, can you tell me? Because I sure don't know.
Maybe they feel that if a lot of colored people or, let's say, Mexicans or blacks come into, I guess what they say, their neighborhood and try to have fun, they're scared or something.
Maybe scared of change. Over the past 2 decades, the white population of Bridgeport has shrunk dramatically. There's a fast-growing Asian and Hispanic population and a large, predominantly black housing project just several blocks away. Cedric Herring, a professor of sociology at the University of Illinois, says it could be the shift in demographics that's leading to the hatred.
There is little evidence that Bridgeport itself is going to change attitudinally. And in fact, what you might have is some kind of a siege mentality in which people are, white people that is, are going to do all that they can to prevent their communities from changing dramatically, and especially along racial lines.
Following the Lenard Clark beating, Chicago pointed a collective finger at Bridgeport, and the community had to take a long, hard look at itself. At the popular Remova restaurant, many residents there thought there wasn't any need to change, and that it was unfair that Bridgeport got the reputation for being racist.
It's not true. How many times do the white kids get beat up in a colored neighborhood, and it's never even in the paper? But as soon as a Mexican, colored, or anybody else gets beat up in Bridgeport, bingo, it hits the national news.
Waitress Tina Roa agrees.
That's an old stigma. I mean, we have black. I wait on blacks in here. I wait on Polish. I wait on Greek. I mean, one beating doesn't mean that the whole neighborhood thinks like that.
Stanley Grabowski says Bridgeport is no different than anywhere else.
Once in a while, it seems like this happens everywhere. It could happen in the suburb, it could happen in the city or here, anywhere. It happens any place in the country, in the world even, too.
Despite its reputation and sluggish pace of reform, Bridgeport does not have a monopoly on racial violence. But efforts to change things in the neighborhood can perhaps be seen as a litmus test. Because if attitudes can be changed here, they can likely be changed anywhere in America. For NPR News, I'm Jackie Northam in Chicago.